You're listening to Seattle's Morning News. This is Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. Another anti-drug program has been pronounced a failure, so let's find out why. Ann Fordham is the executive director of the International Drug Policy Consortium. And Ann, describe your group and who they represent.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me on the show. Yes, so the International Drug Policy Consortium is a global network of NGOs. We're about 170 from over 60 countries around the world who advocate for a new paradigm in drug policies. So one based in human rights, moving away from repressive approaches and punitive approaches that we see have failed to reduce the scale of the global drug market and in and of themselves have created quite a great deal of harm.
And you examined the United Nations 10-year anti-drug plan, and what did you conclude?
Well, we concluded that the focus of the plan to significantly reduce or eliminate the global drug market within 10 years has spectacularly failed. Basically, all the data that is available, and most of that data comes from the UN Office of Drugs and Crime based on government data, shows that basically the drug market has diversified in the last 10 years, is more resilient and more robust than ever. We've also seen that opium cultivation in the last 10 years has increased by 130%. Coca cultivation has increased by 34%, and overall drug use globally has increased by some 31% in the last 10 years. So this effort to kind of contain or even reduce the global drug market, there's no progress towards that. Everything points in the opposite direction.
Well, that's pretty discouraging. There's no good news there at all. So what did they do wrong?
You know, the focus on elimination and eradication basically has come at the expense of policies and programs that should be focused on reducing the harms associated with the drug market. You know, harm reduction programs for people who use drugs. So, you know, reducing HIV infection amongst people who inject drugs by providing access to needle and syringe programs, for example, ensuring access to healthcare services and appropriate drug treatment services for people who use drugs would be important. But instead, many governments have plowed their resources and their policy efforts into kind of harsh law enforcement efforts, criminal justice responses. And, you know, we've seen an explosion globally in, you know, incarceration rates for people who use drugs. I mean, around the world, one in five people who are incarcerated is in prison for a drug-related offense. And most of those is for a simple possession offense alone. So there has been this sort of, policy displacement, we call it, basically, where we've just focused on one side of the problem, which is trying to reduce the scale of the market, but haven't really focused on the fact that, you know, there are harms associated with the policies themselves. And that has driven a huge amount of the problems associated with policies. So we think that there's not really been a very balanced approach, and governments don't acknowledge that drugs, to some extent, are here to stay. You know, we've always had drugs in society, some kind of substance, and we need to find a way to manage the market better rather than just focusing on trying to reduce and eliminate.
So you're saying just acknowledge that people are going to use drugs, and that's the way it is. Drugs are the new aspirin. I mean, the problem with that is that cities or neighborhoods are getting tired of seeing unemployable people shooting up in tents and would like to see that stopped.
Sure, but why are unemployed people shooting up in tents? I think, you know, we're focusing our efforts on the wrong part of the problem. We need to focus on, you know, why people feel so excluded, marginalized, why there is such cycles of poverty and vulnerability, right? Governments should be investing in social programs, in healthcare, you know, in ensuring that, you know, people have that have employment and trying to bring people back in from the margins of society, give them some, you know, meaningful lives and meaningful engagement. And instead, what happens to those people who are homeless and injecting in tents is they get, you know, heavily punished for that. They're further marginalized. They get put in prison. In prison, they use drugs. They come out of prison, they use drugs again. They're trapped in this vicious cycle. And there's no support to try and address the underlying problems, which are social marginalization, poverty, deprivation. And I think that's, you know, that's not only a problem in the US. We see that as a problem globally. The burden of punitive responses to drugs falls on people who are already poor, marginalized, and vulnerable. And I think that's another problem with where efforts have been focused.
So do you believe it's the government's responsibility to help people find happiness in life?
I think it's the government's responsibility to reduce social marginalization and to provide education, healthcare, employment opportunities, to understand that the social disparities that exist in society are issues that need to be addressed, that poverty itself should not be a crime, and understanding that cycles of poverty are exacerbated by heavy criminal justice responses that fall on people who don't have social capital, who don't have access to, you know, adequate access to justice, I would argue. You know, there's a huge racial disparity element as well to criminal justice responses in drug control. And, you know, you only have to look at the US to see that in terms of, you know, who's in the prison system for drug offenses. You know, we have the same problem here. Here in the UK, you know, a report came out a few weeks ago that saying young black men on the streets of London were 9 times more likely to be stopped and searched by police for drugs, even though in terms of, you know, whether they find drugs on black men or white men, the numbers are the same. But it's just that black men are more heavily targeted. And that's a major issue, again, going back to kind of, you know, the social marginalization aspect of basically the war on drugs.
Right. Well, I mean, race-based policing is a bad idea, but is the response to that to simply say, well, drugs are here to stay, let's accept the fact that the entire communities are going to lead drug-addled lives?
I don't think we have to accept that entire communities will end up having severe problems with drug use. But I think, you know, I'm going back to my original point. We have focused far too much on punishing people, stigmatizing people, marginalizing people for using drugs. And that has exacerbated the problem. I'm not saying that, you know, we have to accept that, you know, drugs are harmful and, you know, people do become dependent on drugs. But are they helped by a criminal record when they are caught using drugs or being engaged in the drug trade? Right. Out of,
well maybe not, know, but even if they have no criminal record, they're going to be unemployable. No employer wants somebody who's shooting up all the time and is, you know, not showing up for work. So I understand there's a stigma to it, but that stigma to a certain extent is self-inflicted.
But what is the best way to engage someone who is, you know, dependent on drugs and maybe is poor and has other problems associated with using drugs and being poor in drug treatment services? I mean, you know, we don't provide adequate drug treatment services. We need to be engaging people in those services, having a conversation with them, finding out what they need, mm-hmm. bringing them in. What else are we meant to do? Leave people on the street? No, I think there's a very...
I agree, that seems,
you know,
to work.
There's a certain inhumanity to and a dehumanization, yes, around people who use drugs. And that's, you know, that's why they're kind of outside of on the margins of society. And I think it's about bringing them in, you know, bringing them into treatment services, having those conversations, providing harm reduction services as well, because, I mean, that's another major issue. And obviously with the overdose epidemic that we see in the US, I mean, the numbers are staggering, and it's really quite a frightening situation. You know, how do we ensure that we keep young people safe if they do happen to fall into drug use? We do need to provide overdose prevention services. We do need to provide access to clean needles and syringes. You know, some people, I mean, you know, governments will always argue we need to stop people using drugs. We need to get them into recovery. You know, that is a laudable goal, of course. But in the meantime, we need to keep people alive so we can, you know, if should they choose to decide to abstain from drug use, they'll be alive at that point and be able to engage meaningfully in treatment. You know, punishing people, stigmatizing them, keeping them on the outside will mean that they will hide their drug use. They will hide from the authorities. They won't seek healthcare services. And the chances of something bad happening to them as a result of their drug use is far greater.
Yes, well, of course, we would never punish somebody for having cancer, for example, but nobody seeks out cancer. And in this case, people seek out drugs due to various reasons. I'm wondering, you shouldn't pile on people who are already in a miserable situation, but does this work? Is there evidence? Are there countries that are doing this right? And by taking this approach, they've seen drug use actually go down?
Yes, I think that, the first thing to say is, I think, you know, and this comes back to the failure of the UN strategy, right? This focus on, you know, reducing supply, reducing demand of drugs. You know, I mean, honestly speaking, there's very little that has shown that the policy responses that we've had thus far over the last 50 years, intensively in particular, have worked to reduce either demand or supply. What we do know that policies work is reducing the harms associated with drugs and with the market. I mean, the often cited example is Portugal. But other countries are following suit. And what Portugal did in 2001 was to remove criminal sanctions for people who use drugs, for all types of drug use, and also for what we call possession for personal use. So people actually found to have some small amount of drugs on them for their own personal use were also not punished. And instead, at the same time they removed criminal sanctions, they scaled up the healthcare response and drug treatment services and encouraged people to come forward and seek treatment. What we've seen in Portugal as a result is that drug use, levels of drug use prevalence have remained largely stable. So it's not that drug use per se came down, but levels of what we call problematic drug use have fallen. So numbers of people accessing treatment or getting into really serious problems with their use feel able to come forward to the authorities and seek help because they're not going to get punished. And that's really important. And that's something that governments, other governments have been looking towards. You know, the Czech Republic has decriminalized. Norway is about to decriminalize. Ireland is having a conversation around decriminalizing drug use. And, you know, it's important that countries are looking to these examples because they know that the approach of criminalizing and punishing has only made the problem worse.
And in those countries, what do they, how do they care for people who cannot earn a living on their own because of their habit?
Well, we are talking about, you know, Western European democracies where there is a decent welfare state. And so people do, you know, are cared for and able to access services, not in all cases. But I think, you know, while there is understood that they're, you know, seeking drug treatment and then here it's a health issue. And the fact that it is a health issue means that they are able to get treatment for their health issue and get some other support while they're in that healthcare setting.
And there's no, what shall I say, a moral hazard problem with people simply saying, well, I was born without motivation and I really don't want to make a living, so I'll just pop the pills and cash the checks.
Gosh, I feel like that's a very stigmatizing attitude towards and a very simplistic way of looking at why people use drugs and indeed why people have.
It is, but I'm bringing it up because there's a political reality here where people don't like the idea of public money being used to essentially fund a dysfunctional habit like this unless there's at least some insistence that you try to get out of it.
Yes, I can understand where that concern comes from. But I think, you know, it is incumbent upon us who you know, we live in these societies where, you know, genuine social problems exist. And those social problems are not going to be solved by, you know, it's not as simplistic as saying that, you know, just get back on your feet, just, you know, engage in this, you know, in this, in the economy in this way, you know, without addressing some of the underlying factors as to why people might use drugs. Some people genuinely use drugs for pleasure. And there's a, you know, we're also ignoring large swathes of the population who use drugs unproblematically, right, as well. I mean, the UNODC itself, the UN Office of Drugs and Crime, estimates that only 10% of all people who use drugs actually end up having problems with their drug use. Then we need to look at why those people have their problems with their drug use. You know, and often it's, you know, self-medication for pain, whether that's emotional pain from childhood abuse or physical pain, you know, and we need to understand those reasons as to why people are using drugs in the first place. This sort of blanket prohibition, one size fits all, everybody must be deterred from drug use, and the only way to deter people from drug use is through punishment, has not worked as a matter of public policy. We know that. It has driven, you know, HIV epidemics amongst people who inject drugs all over the world. It has, you know, arguably, you know, driven this overdose epidemic that we've also seen in North America. And I think that's something that, you know, there needs to be an honest conversation about that, you know, that actually only a small portion of people end up with serious problems. And then how do we address those problems for those people in particular? And each individual should be treated, you know, each case should be treated on the basis of its own merits, I think, from a very humane perspective. But most people use drugs, as we know, without ever having any problems. It's the same as we see with alcohol. You know, some people drink a lot, some people drink a little, some people never drink at all. Mm-hmm. And we're not using a criminal justice system to criminalize those who end up having problems with their alcohol use.
So based on your research, I think it's fair to say that nations like the United States who continue to punish people merely for the act of using drugs are just creating more unnecessary misery, and that approach should be abandoned immediately.
I would say so. I would say that it's time to take a more enlightened approach and a more humane approach to this issue, and one that's based in, you know, bringing people in from the margins, you know, making sure people have the services they need, and not further stigmatizing people or punishing people. You know, I mean, there is a very sharp edge to this, Dave, you know, and we haven't talked about that, but, you know, look at where people are, where the sharpest edge of the war on drugs still goes on in a country like the Philippines. There's been, you know, estimated 27,000 extrajudicial killings in the Philippines in the last 2.5 years, you know, of anyone being of suspected involvement in the drug trade, whether they're using drugs or selling drugs. And most of those people will be poor people. You know, there will be, it's not clear whether they had any involvement with drugs in the first place, but the president of the Philippines has basically sanctioned this very extreme approach without any adherence to the rule of law, that people can just be killed in the street for being suspected of being involved with drugs. And that is, you know, very worrying. You've got that across the spectrum, and we need to move away from dehumanizing people who are using drugs, or, you know, and understanding why this problem exists in the first place, and look at it from a much broader, more holistic, more humane perspective.
So based on your research, if the U.S. drug czar were to hold a news conference tomorrow and say, I have figured out what the right approach is, what would he tell the nation?
He would say, we are going to stop criminalizing and punishing people for using drugs, and we are going to drastically and dramatically scale up harm reduction and health services for people who use drugs in every city of the United States. We're going to start providing what we call safe injection sites to reduce the risk of overdose death. And that would, you know, and I think, you know, that would be a very important policy, because we know that safe injection sites, supervised injection, reduces the risk of overdose death from overdose very dramatically. And we would, you know, offer full drug treatment at scale for anyone who wants to come forward and engage in drug treatment services, effective drug treatment services. And we would, yeah, we would want to take this much stronger health, human rights-based approach to this issue. And I think that would be a very important and enlightened step to take.
Ann Fordham is the executive director of the International Drug Policy Consortium and is speaking to us from London. Ann, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.